Good evening. Thank you for your welcome. Thank you for turning out this evening. Good to be with you once again. I'd like to read, please, in the book of Psalms, and the first Psalm, number one. Psalm number one. Many of our prayers this evening have been seeking that God might give us some comfort in life, some peace and some encouragement. And that fits in beautifully with this lovely psalm. In fact, the man who is spoken of here, I think, could well have identified with that lovely hymn we've just sung together. So let's read the psalm first of all then. Psalm number one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So reads God's precious word, and he will bless that reading to us. Just a word of prayer, shall we, before we turn to it. Father God, as we come into your presence, and we come into your presence to once again consider together your lovely word, we pray, our Father, that from it we might gain encouragement, might gain strength in our Christian lives, that we might, our Father, identify ourselves with this man in this particular psalm, this one of whom is spoken of in such glowing terms, as one who obviously followed very closely his Father God. And we pray that we might be like that, our Father, in this day and age in which we live. All around us there are those who seek to undermine the word of God, seek to set it aside. We've already prayed for laws that are being enacted in our Houses of Parliament that fly in the face of your word. We pray, our Father, to encourage us this evening to take that stand, to not be diminished in our efforts to promote the word of God and to live by it day by day. So as we look into it, our Father, encourage our hearts together this evening, we pray, that once again we might go from this place rejoicing greatly in the joy of thy salvation. Amen. With us and bless us, Father, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus, for his sake. Amen. This psalm sets out for us quite clearly the difference between the righteous and the wicked. It seeks to explain to us the two separate ways in which mankind can travel. Mankind can travel in the way of life or in the way of doom. Sadly, as you and I walk around and live around in this world today, we come across far more people who it is obvious are walking in the way of doom, and they are not walking in the way of life. They don't seek to be righteous. They have no desire to be righteous. They have rather the desire to be those who are continually flying in the face of God's law, flying in the face of the laws even of the countries in which they live. The last verse that we came to in this psalm as we read it together shows us the parting of the ways of those two particular types of people. It shows us that the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but that the way of the ungodly shall perish. But it starts off on a happy note. Blessed, it says, is the man. Blessed is the man. It's a word in the plural. It means a multitude of blessings, a multiplicity of blessings. Happy or happiness is in view here of this particular man. It's the same word that was used by the Queen of Sheba when she spoke of the court of Solomon, how that she said on that particular occasion, happy, says she, are they thy men, happy are these thy servants. Spurgeon says, oh the blessedness, oh the joyful acclamation of this particular verse. This man is truly blessed, and blessed in many, many ways. But first of all, we come here and we find that we're looking on the negative side. Because what it says, first of all, is that this man does not walk in the way of the ungodly. It says that he does not stand in the way of sinners. It says that he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. And these three particular facets of his life display to us his thinking, his behaving, and his belonging. They mark him out as an altogether different man from a man of the world. It says that his thinking, his behaving, and his belonging are of a particular style that causes him not to do certain things. So these three things demonstrate a person's allegiance, his fundamental choice of allegiance, whether it is to God and God's word, or whether it is to man's understanding and man's way of life. First of all, then, his thinking. This man, it says, does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. When he wants advice, when he wants help in situations that are perhaps beyond his capability of dealing with, he doesn't go to the world. He goes to God. His thinking is that there is a far wiser counsel in God and in God's word than there is to be found in the world around us. He says that carnal men will lead him astray. He says that they'll be using cunning and wicked devices. He chooses to be one who heeds the God of Scripture. The one who David said would make him to lie down in green pastures. The one who would lead him beside the still waters. The one who would lead him in paths of righteousness. Paths then of peace and plenteousness. We all know that lovely Psalm 23, and how that it just gives us that wonderful picture of the fellowship that is to be had if we are followers of God, as we were thinking earlier with Ian, of being adopted into the family of God. The wonderful, wonderful blessings that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Things which far surpass anything that the world out there has to offer. The hymn says, isn't it, I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, and the waters failed. Well, I guess at some point in all of our lives, we've perhaps been there. Perhaps we've been tempted to try the things of the world in order to get some satisfaction and find that it's not to be found, maybe fleetingly, maybe for a short time, but certainly not lasting joy, lasting peace. That is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this man does. His thinking is that men will lead him astray, that they will use wicked and cunning devices against him. And he's not going to listen to them. He's going to go to God, and he's going to go to God's word for his instruction and his comfort. That's his thinking. What about his behaving? Well, it says of him that he's not standing in the way of sinners. He understands that the blessed man thought of here, that he's been saved by grace. He's been bought with a price. He's been quickened by the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we're in Old Testament times here, but this is the thought here. We can apply this to New Testament believers. Those who have been saved by grace, bought with a price, a great price, beyond our human imaginings when we start to think about the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross at Calvary, dying on that cross. And if that were not bad enough, he died there and he carried the sins of the world, the holy, righteous Son of God, quickened by the Holy Spirit, that divine person living in each one of us who love the Lord Jesus, given to us that we might fully understand the mind of God, that we might understand the word of God. What a tremendous privilege it is to be that blessed, that we have this divine person living within us. And as we were thinking earlier, to be a child of God, adopted into the family of God, a position which is absolutely beyond human comprehension. If you or I were to adopt a child into our family, we might love that child dearly. We might give it as much love and attention and sustenance as we would give if that child was our own natural child. But what we cannot do is to place our own peculiar nature into that child. That's beyond our capabilities. That child will grow up sharing the genes of its natural parent, and we cannot change that. They often grow up to look like their natural parents. They often behave in a way that their natural parents do. We cannot do that. But God, when he makes us a child of God, places his own peculiar nature within each one of us. And though you look at me and you think, well, he doesn't look very Christ-like, you know, God sees us as though we're already glorified, as though we're already in heaven. He places that his own peculiar nature. That's the adoption when we're adopted into the family of God. That's what this man is going to be, why he is going to behave in the way he is. He's not going to stand in the way of sinners. He's going to separate himself from it. And he moves on to that more fully when he talks about his belonging. For he says he's not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. Sitting suggests being at rest, being comfortable. He finds no rest in the company of those who mock God.